What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. Thank you for joining us today. I have with me today Trenise and Ashley from Lifting Lucy. I had the pleasure of meeting them at the Craft Beer Professionals Conference a few months ago in Milwaukee. Is that where we were?
Yeah.
So that was a good time. And actually, you guys were some of the first people I met. I walked in and saw your table at the brewery where we're having our first like social gathering, and I was just
shout out to Mobcraft.
Yeah, Mobcraft, that place was great. And shout out to Andrew Copeland as well from Craft Beer Professionals, and grateful for all the connections that he creates through doing these events and online events and everything. So if you're listening and you're interested in beer and the business of beer, go ahead and check out Craft Beer Professionals on Facebook. It's a great group to join. Otherwise, welcome to the show, Trenise and Ashley. How you doing?
Thank you. Great. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. I've been really looking forward to this conversation. We need a lot more conversations about equity and diversity and all of these things. And so I'm really excited to hear what you guys have to say about the topic.
Yeah, it was great meeting you too. I don't know who pulled you first. It was probably Ashley, because she's really good at like, just, hey, you know.
No, nope. It was, I think you guys were having I think maybe you were having a nicotine fit, Trey, and I think Zach may have been thawing outside. And y'all were over to the side. And you know I have separation anxiety as the only child. I'm like, where's Trenise? And you guys are on the side of the building talking. That's how we all collectively met.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if it was just a really, like, the weather, the air, you know, like that beautiful space we were in. But, you know, I could easily just lay back on that lawn and like really pondered life a few more hours with you all, because we had some great conversations there. We really did. So I know it was our first time meeting you, but it was amazing to just cook like that and be able to understand each other and have those conversations. Yeah.
When it works, you know? Yeah. And I always love getting to know people who are open to having deep conversations without necessarily holding back, right? And having those authentic conversations without having to worry about like saying the wrong thing, right? Because we're all learning, you know?
For sure. I know my mouth, I don't have a really, really good filter, but it's definitely gotten better. So it really helps when, you know, people allow me to be myself and then kind of reel it back as I, you know, can, or say, hey, Trey, you know. So again,
filter is better than control of my facial expressions.
That's
and
true.
You're not the
That's
one
true.
That has pictures out here on the internet making all types of crazy faces at people at CBC. So you're good.
Well, hey, we are recording video today, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah, right.
Me and my eyebrows had a conversation before I turned my camera on. We're good.
Yeah, no people's brow today.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we do our toast, I would love for you guys to tell me just a quick couple of sentences about what Lifting Lucy is.
Sure, I'll start. Lifting Lucy is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we support Black, Indigenous, and all women of color on their educational journeys, and whether it's professional development, but also networking opportunities such as conferences like the Craft Beer Professionals Connects and also Craft Brewers Conference, but really just making sure that we're fostering conversations and fostering opportunities for all of these amazing women and these talented individuals to be in the brewing industry and add value to it.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. And I'd like to just add on to that one thing that separates us, in my head anyway, from a lot of other organizations with similar focal points or similar missions, is our biggest thing, our why, is to be the reason somebody doesn't say no to an opportunity that falls into their lap. So, you know, we've had women in our network who are like, wow, I have a speaking engagement opportunity, but they're not paying me to go. I think I can get there, but I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep in the airport. No, you're not. We're going to get you a hotel room. Or, you know, wow, I really want to take, you know, level 1, level 2 Cicerone, but I can't afford the study materials. Okay, we got it. So really just plugging those gaps. We're not necessarily looking to reinvent the wheel. We just want to make sure, again, once these opportunities come, that you don't even have that hesitancy to say, I can't do it because I'm lacking X, Y, Z.
And that's really how we got started, right? You know, being vulnerable with each other and saying, this is what I need. You know, how in the world are we going to make this happen? So,
yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. Absolutely. I love that. Just providing support for people to not be able to make excuses so they can create better lives for themselves. And that idea of vulnerability and being open with, like, hey, I don't have the money for this. Can you help me out? Or, I need some support here or there. And that's can be the hardest thing. You know, our pride gets in the way of those things sometimes, and it can be really difficult to admit we need that help.
Especially when your salary looks good on paper, you know, like on paper, it looks great. But then you add in 2 children, some childcare, and you're still finding yourself needing financial assistance or food assistance. It can look great on paper, but it really, really helps when we can have these spaces to be vulnerable with each other and say what's really going on with us.
Absolutely. Yeah. It seems like there's
nothing and I think that since this is a conversation about vulnerability and we're all friends here, just to be honest, even that phrasing of, you know, not having an excuse, sometimes it's not an excuse. It's just the reality of the situation.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes there's a little bit of shame or embarrassment that comes along with saying, like, this is the reality of my situation. And it's not that I don't want to go. I just need to have some of these barriers removed. And I can't remove them all by myself right now. And it's easy from the outside looking in to be like, oh, well, this is a great opportunity. Why are you even thinking about it? But like Trey said, unless you really know what's going on with that person and their immediate surroundings and all the external layers that they have to deal with just to exist on a day-to-day basis, you know, we can't really make those snap decisions of, oh, well, this person should be so much further along, or they should be doing this, or they should be doing that, if we don't know what they need to do those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. And this next hour is going to be a lot of fun. So to get us going, let's give a little toast. Let's have a little drink.
All right. What you got over there?
So this is actually was one of my favorites throughout the summertime from a brewery called Carbach here in San Antonio. And this is the Love Street Citrus. So it's a really nice, light, only 4.8%. It's totally crushable. And I really enjoy this on a nice hot day.
Nice. So. Now, are you ever shamed for drinking anything that has delicious citral flavors, or it's low alcohol versus high alcohol?
Not at all. You know, I used to be in that whole, like, having the ego around drinking the high alcohol percentages and the super hoppy beers and things like that. And, you know, I went through a phase in my 20s where I was like, yeah, IPAs are really good. But, you know, I'm at a point now where I'm like, I don't want to get drunk. I just want to enjoy the beer. And honestly, I feel like I get a lot more of a balanced flavor profile in a lot of the lower ABV beers. And that's not always the truth. That's not always the case, but I've just been really enjoying some simple, like, German beers and things like that, that I can just drink a few of them and not feel gross the next day. So yeah. What do you guys have?
I'm over here rocking Athletic Lights straight out the can. Wish you could smell it. Wish you could have some.
Yeah, that non-alcoholic. I've been on that train lately. It's so good. And again, can have a few of them. Don't feel gross the next day. And they've gotten really good. What's your profile, or what's your opinion on the Athletic Light? I haven't tried that one yet.
It's good. You know, actually my favorite, if I'm being honest, is the Golden, the Golden Dawn. But, you know, this one's really, really good, especially for a light beer. I'm not normally a light brew person, but I really like it. Still has a nice amount. It's not heavy, of course, but it still has some really good body to it for a light beer.
Sure. Do you tend to go for the more high ABV when you do drink regular beers?
I don't. I like beers, you know, I can have a few and then maybe, you know, balance it out with an NA, you know, product. But no. If I'm drinking beer, I like something that's nice and moderate where I can still function and have a conversation if I need to.
Nice.
If I'm at home, it might be something different, but generally speaking. Yeah.
Love it. I actually, you know, I tried the Guinness Zero for the first time years ago. That was a solid beer. I was actually impressed as like for a non-alcoholic stout, it was like right on par with the Guinness.
Okay, that's good to hear. Have you tried any of the other like major NAs? Like, I'm curious about like Coronas or, you know, theirs, the standards.
Not really, because every time I've tried one so far, like especially the lighter beers, they have that kind of malty, like molassesy kind of aftertaste, and I just have a hard time with it. What about you, Ashley? What you got down there?
So I am drinking this grape ricotta hef that is brewed by my all-time
Ooh.
favorite brewer in the world, Miss Celeste Beattie from Harlem Brewing. And I've been hanging on to this for a special occasion, so no time like the present, right?
Aw, feel very
And
honored
hefs are
that
very near and dear to me. I tell people all the time I'm a proud survivor of a Colt 45 household. I really hated beer. It was disgusting. And the first time I ever had a beer that I was like, oh, this is delicious, was a Hefeweizen at a German beer garden in Sydney when my parents and I were looking at my dorm room and getting me ready to set up my life on the complete opposite side of the world. But I had a
Nice.
really good clean Hef with fresh mango juice in it, and I was like, oh
Ooh.
my gosh, like this is beer. So I'm very partial to Hefs because of that. And it's even better that Celeste brewed it.
That's awesome. That sounds really good. I wish I could. I wish I could just reach through there and have a
Really good
piece
too.
of that. Oh
Well,
man.
you know, I'll see if I have another can floating around somewhere, and if I do, it may have to come on the plane with me to San Antonio in a couple of months.
Hey.
There you go.
So yeah, well, thank you guys for joining me. Cheers.
Cheers, everyone.
All right. Well, I, you know, this is a topic that has been coming up quite a bit in my life in general. You know, like I told you guys before we got on here, I am working on my master's degree for licensed counseling, and you know, I tend to have a lot of these conversations anyway, just because it's a topic that really it's really important to me personally, just because, you know, I so many different friends from so many different backgrounds and lifestyles and all of these things, and I, you know, I've seen and had conversations with people very close to me who have had some really difficult experiences around not being included, or being spoken to certain ways, that you know, they wouldn't necessarily, that I haven't experienced, right? That I wouldn't think of because I haven't experienced them. And so, these things, I think one of the big reasons that the idea of inclusivity and equity and all these things aren't, they're still kind of, I don't know if taboo is the right word or what, but you know, we keep from having these conversations so often, and we keep these things in the almost in the darkness, in the shadows, and so there's not enough understanding from people, like for people in general, of others' experiences. So anyway, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say on it.
Again, I'm just going to jump right in. Hearing what you're saying, when you say we, the first thing that comes to mind is who is we? Because I feel like for me, being a woman of color, I'm constantly having conversations about equity and inclusion and what really is diversity with my peers. So I'm not sure if it's so much that we aren't having the conversations or we aren't having the conversations.
That one, the collective, right? Like the society as a whole.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think we also think too there's a proper place and time, you know, where those conversations are suitable. You know, if you have to learn something or if you have to be mindful of inclusion or learning unlearning biases, those are the right time to have those conversations. When in reality, whether it's the brewing industry or not, it's going to affect your everyday life. If you're not having those conversations. And same like you, Zach, you know, I certainly here, you know, I have some of my own privileges where I may have grown up around a lot of people that, same as you, you know, we all are different backgrounds, different experiences. And for other people who, you know, may be white male or maybe black female, they didn't have those experiences. And so again, it's just for me to keep those things in mind for myself, that everyone doesn't have that experience of being around, you know, a good group of what represents America generally, or what represents the world really. So, you know, I think it's just whether we have those conversations, where we think it's the right time to have those conversations, but we're definitely having them. It's just, they're put in really nice places where we can, you know, palette it.
Right. Neat little packages. So, I mean, you guys, your organization focuses primarily on the brewing industry, and you know, I've heard so much of just horror stories from people who have had really negative experiences working in the brewing industry, specifically people of color and like LGBTQ and things like that. And I would love to hear what you guys have experienced in that so far as, you know, helping people out and being a part of that, being in that realm, I guess, as far as working in the brewing industry and trying to bring awareness to these things.
You want to touch on that, Ashley?
Sure. I proudly am on my third go round of being a mentor in the Brewers Association's mentorship program. Ooh. And it's really interesting because all of my mentees have been people of color, and I want like that status quo, you know, no offense, Zach, but you know, bearded, little melanin deficient.
Thank you.
You know, cisgender, hetero male, like that's who I want to mentor.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to what I was saying a minute ago. Like, I feel like within our own communities, you know, we're more open to having conversations and being a little bit more candid with each other, but it really is having that opportunity to connect with people that are very different from you. And so if anybody from the VA is listening, please give me a white man next time, please. Just one. But being in this industry, and it kind of goes back to why Lifting Lucy is called Lifting Lucy, right? So Lucy is the name of the oldest female human remains that were found in Ethiopia, right? Mm. But Lucy was not her name. That was not that woman's name at all. That was an anglicized name given to her because the people that discovered her happened to be listening to the Beatles at the time, right? And they were listening, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's really about lifting up her and her true identity and her legacy and what we know just from a historical, but more so from an intrinsic standpoint, is we know at that point in time that woman carried that sacred knowledge of fermentation, whether mm-hmm. it was fermenting foods, making, you know, beverages, alcoholic or not. And for so many of us that come from communities of color, libations, you know, people take it in jest now when you pour something out for your homie that's not here. That goes all the way back to the beginning of time and pouring libations, and women were always at the root of that. So fast forward to now being in the industry where I just recently quit my job working with Duvel, and I had did that for a number of years. And Duvel is a very, you know, well-known, established, higher-end Belgian beer brand.
Okay.
And having, you know, people come up to me and try to correct me on how the brand is pronounced and quizzing me about, you know, what's happening in the factory, or telling me, oh, they see why I have my job because I'm attractive to them. Completely discounting the fact that, like, I give a shit about this industry and this community, and I'm passionate about it, and I'm passionate about educating others in it. And I don't know if that's so much as me being a person of color as being a female, right? Mm-hmm. I proudly serve as vice president currently for Pink Boots Society International. We have 82 chapters globally. There are a lot of people that identify as female and non-binary who know just as much about beer as any man out there, if not more sometimes.
If not more, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, for me, transitioning back into the hat of being a person of color in this country specifically, you can really fall victim to that death by a thousand paper cuts. And I think I made a choice at a very young age to pick and choose what I get upset about. And it's not to say that I don't. There are many days where I will call Trinity's and be like, okay, I need a second because I'm about to lose my shit.
Yeah.
And it was another podcast that we were on and that I brought it up, you know, being referred to as a unicorn. People think this is a compliment because what they're saying is, hey, I don't see a lot of Black women in this industry, but you're here, you're special, you're unique. And I said, you know, please stop calling me a unicorn. Like, nobody wants glittery shit in a brewery. And, you know, nobody wants that. I am not a unicorn.
Yeah.
And I have just as much right to be here as anybody else. And so I think it's just really, again, those microaggressions. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's in the beer industry, but in my day job, I work in education. And, you know, certain comments like, you know, oh, well, aren't you smart? Or, you know, oh, here I am thinking that you're really put together, but you're using the software to do your job. So I could be as smart as you are if I use the same software. And I think for, especially in this country, and I keep emphasizing in America, because I do have another life in another country that's predominantly Black, and it's a totally different experience, right? And I think in Trey, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you can identify with this. You know, it's his microaggressions, not only from people who are not people of color, if you identify as a person of color, but also from your own community. If you happen to have mannerisms and speech patterns and interests that lie within the quote unquote mainstream. So it's a lot of, not so much now because I'm nearly 40, but definitely when I was younger, it could lend itself to having a little bit of an identity crisis, for lack of a better phrase. Like, yeah. Should I really like the things that I like, or should I be around the people that I'm around? Should I be into the things that I'm into? You know, I, as much as I love craft beer, I love ska music that much more. And a lot of people assume that ska music, very much like craft beer, is something that, you know, hetero, cisgender white guys. Yes, but Bob Marley was in a ska band before there ever was reggae, right? And yeah. That roots go back to Jamaica. Same thing with punk music. The mm-hmm. first documented punk band was an all-Black band by the name of Death that came out of Detroit, way before the Sex Pistols were even put together. So I know that was a few trips around the mulberry bush, but definitely I think because sometimes I'm perceived as being an other, that there's an assumption that I am safe for people to say really fucked up shit around.
Wow.
Because I don't fit that typical mold of what a Black woman should be, or clearly because I'm in what's perceived as a white male space, that I'm okay with some bad behavior from white males because it's me being in their space. So I have to adapt and accommodate.
Yeah. And see, isn't it those assumptions though, that continue the problem? It's like, instead of having the conversation of saying, hey, what do you think about this? Is this okay? Is this, you know, and having those conversations rather than just assuming, right? It's like, could you think we could do better by asking each other, hey, is this okay? And
for sure.
All right, if you follow along with the Dark Blue and you have not tried Sheath underwear yet, what are you actually doing with your life? Get on www.sheathunderwear.com, save yourself a lot of rubbing, a lot of chafing, and a little bit of money with promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE. You'll save yourself 25%, and a portion of your purchase also goes to help us build our network of men's groups at independent breweries all around the country. So let's make this happen, guys. Get on sheathunderwear.com.
Have you guys ever experienced like calling somebody out on those things and then and it being well received?
You mean not as an angry Black woman?
Wait, hold on. Let me cover my eyebrows.
Are you crazy, Matt? I'm doing it now. Are you pretty?
So yeah, even as an angry Black woman, that's okay. Like calling somebody out, have you ever had anybody, or have you ever called somebody out on it and then also had them been like, oh, you know what, you're right, I'm being an asshole or whatever.
I'll go since you're still thinking. have. And again, everyone has their ways of doing it. And I just try to remember, you know, when I have those, whether it be a slip of the tongue or just saying something that was just straight up, you know, whack, whatever. How would I want someone to approach me? How would I want someone to be honest with me? Be real enough to say, hey, you know, you messed up. Like, you know, and tell me those things. So, yeah, there have been instances, not as many as I'm comfortable with doing. I'm kind of like Ashley, you know, as a short Black woman, I really tend to pick my battles. So there are instances where it can happen, but I think that you also, if you're planning to educate someone, you have to be, you know, you have to be well-versed yourself. And so again, that's where I choose to, you know, pick my battles. But if someone's just, you know, completely wrong, I tend to go the funny route or joke with them. Like, you know, really, is it, you know, did you just say that because I'm Black, or, you know, you saying that because you really like, you know, and I'll just keep it like that. And you're like, oh, no, that's not exactly what I meant. And they'll figure it out. And then we'll have a joke and we'll talk about some more things. And that opens up the conversation to have even more conversation. So, awesome. You know, there is times where you can do it, but I'm just going to say, if you're planning to educate someone, make sure that you're well-versed yourself, because we can get a little self-righteous as well. And I'm saying we as the collective, all of us as humans, we can definitely get a little bit self-righteous. So, you know, definitely give people grace. But, you know, if you're in a position to say, hey, you know, dude, come on now, or, you know, hey, girl, come on now, then I don't see anything wrong with that, as long as you're coming from a place of good and from love.
Nice.
Just real quickly, sorry, I'm gonna jump in again here, Trey. I love that you mentioned like being very intentional about your approach, and part of that is because you want people to be open and receptive to the feedback that you have to give them. But I found for me, especially again depending on where I am geographically, I can't just go guns blazing because I could put myself in danger. You know, and it's a very weird position to be in, where I have been offended by somebody's actions or behavior. And then I have to take that on as the offended party of, okay, how do I calculate and craft this conversation to make sure that I'm literally able to walk away from it?
And we've been in that situation, like literally been that situation where her, you know, she was to the point of physically being, it was not pretty. It happens. So I'm glad you brought that up, Ashley. Yeah. Cause I seem like a Care Bear now, but you know, once I do that whole laugh thing, if they don't get with them, they're like, you know, it gets to a point of it's really gets scary, then, you know, my short complex really kicks in and it's totally different. So. Oh, yeah.
And it sucks because you don't want to put yourself, again, I can only speak for the experience of being a Black woman, but even my silence, and I had an encounter recently in my day job where I literally just sat there and said nothing because I figured that would be better than me letting this person know that they were being disrespectful to me. Mm-hmm. That came off as threatening. Me just sitting there and saying nothing.
Wow.
And so this whole complex of being an angry Black woman, and you've met Trey and I think, yeah, can we get angry? For sure, but that's not our default. But I think a lot of times we get preemptively painted with that brush that if we are speaking up and standing up for ourselves and the people that we care about, that we're being angry or being combative. And a lot of us just don't even want to deal with that. And so we make like a duck more times than we should, because that's a whole other layer of trauma and things that we have to try to work through. Of, you know, shit, anybody over the age of 6 months gets angry. Like, have a kid, don't feed them on time. They're going to get pissed off. You know, but it's we'll just really these social dynamics where certain people, they're privileged to be vocal and expressive about their anger or their disappointment or their dissatisfaction is just part of their identity. And for other people, it's a threat.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate.
Well, we know what happens, you know, historically speaking, what happens when, you know, you speak up, it's not good. So whether that be your job is gone or other things, it's, you know, it's not something that we're privy to do.
Gotcha. So there's just always kind of like an imminent threat of standing up for yourself and what might come of it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
I mean, it's not to be a wet blanket here, but it's like, you know, the talk. I only know certain cultures and certain ethnicities that have the talk with their kids. And it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong, your focus right then is to survive that encounter. And me, as a highly educated person that possesses not one but two law degrees and is very capable of handling any encounter with law enforcement on facts, there are times where I just have to basically just endure it because I know it can go real left if that person feels challenged or threatened or that I'm being uppity or I don't know my place.
Got it.
And it gets crazier because it's like, you know, you have that angry black woman that's been a stereotype for forever, but then you also have it where you're commended for being the strong black woman. And so you never get a chance to be saved in these instances. I'll speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for, you know, everyone else, but and Ashley, you can correct me, but you'll go certain places and these things are happening and you automatically just assume, you know, your feet, you know, sisters will come to the rescue. Any women that are there, surely they'll come to your rescue. They see this going on. Or, you know, some black man will come to our rescue. Surely the black brothers will come to our rescue. They see this going on. And that doesn't always happen. And so again, you know, you have this strong black woman here where, you know, you have to become something that all of a sudden it's the angry black woman because you have no one else defending you.
Yeah, gotcha. Was kind of a catch 20.
Sorry, last thing. I love that you shared that, Trey, because I just had a flashback to answering Zach's initial question. Have I ever called somebody out on something and it went well? No, not that I can think of. But there was an encounter that I had with a very well-known brewer in the industry. It was a meet the brewer type of situation. And I happened to be gussied up because I literally left a gala to go hang out with this brewer because, you know, I'm committed to this beer shit. So I got my heels and my hair done and, you know, I'm all gussied up. And another attendee basically told me the only reason I had a job in the beer industry was because people found me attractive. And at that point, my spirit left my body and I probably said some things that weren't so great. But there was this white male who I looked up to, not because he was a white male, but because of what he's done in this industry, who literally just sat there. And it really kind of broke my heart. And I pulled myself together and finished the encounter. And, you know, and once that moment was over, the person that, as Trey said, instinctually I was expecting to call out his peer and didn't, when it was a one-on-one moment, he said, "Oh, wow, I can't believe that happened. That shit was crazy, yada, 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 yada." And I just kind of left it at that. The next encounter, when I saw that person at a big beer industry event, I had totally forgotten about it. And he found me and came to me and said, "You know what? I apologize. I didn't handle that the way that it should have been handled. I should have checked that." So to answer your question, it wasn't me calling this person out, but it was me giving that person, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, the space to really digest what happened and to form a personal connection with me. So now I wasn't just a random person. I now was somebody that he knew and connected with. And me being humanized in that aspect, I think, allowed him to process and be like, wow, that was really fucked up. Not only what happened to this person that I'm now friends with, but the way that I didn't step in or I didn't speak up. I was not an active bystander.
And Zach, you got to keep in mind, like, checking someone, I think we tend to think it's, you know, whether it's you know, about race or sexism or anything, but oftentimes, you know, there are opportunities for even black people to check other black people, and that happens as well, you know. So when we talk about checking people, right or wrong, whatever your complexion is, if you have the opportunity to do so in a way that's loving or intentional, it should be done.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you know, that's a lot of that's I mean that's true, I think, in most cultures, right? Is like, yeah, we all have our downfalls and as individuals, and you know, in those moments it's I think societally too, we're so disconnected from each other in general now, in a lot of ways, that when something like that does happen, we either one haven't experienced it before, or two, there's a lot of fear surrounding those kinds of interactions. And so, you know, there can definitely be some valuable time to digest, like you were saying, and really be able to recognize, like, okay, well, how can I do better next time, right? Now that I've experienced this for the first time and I know, like, how to recognize that this is what's going on, like, how can I be a better advocate for my fellow human, whoever they may be. And
just to add on to that real quickly, like, in a perfect world, everybody would have that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, due to certain political figures we've had in this country, I've had to make peace with that. Some people really just don't give a shit. And I can't expect myself and everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's not everybody's responsibility to step in and be a good neighbor and give a shit. Yeah. And that was a hard pill to swallow. But once I did, it made life a lot less stressful.
Yeah, that type of acceptance can be really hard for sure. And, you know, I've had similar experiences, you know, over these last several, like, 3-4 years of realizing that, like, there are people who I'm close to who are more concerned about themselves than they are about their community. And it's really disappointing.
We all have those family members.
So those of you listening or watching, I just want to let you know the whole purpose of this is to just really to open up this conversation. If something hits you hard, think about it. If something that gets said today hits you and makes you angry or offends you in some way, think about why it offends you. Because there might be a bigger reason than you realize. And you know, that's the whole purpose of having these open conversations, and you know, why I'm particularly trying really hard to focus on asking questions and hearing what these two have to say, because, you know, a lot of you guys listening, watching, probably or possibly haven't been outside of your hometown before and don't know what the world is like outside of your immediate experience and different things like that. Whatever it may be, there's always a opportunity and possibility to broaden your horizons a little bit. So,
and I think, again, you know, reminding people that it doesn't even mean just broadening your horizons on a black white level, which, of course, I don't mean it is what it is when it comes to color. But, you know, broadening your senses on who's in your local community that, you know, who's hard of hearing you could learn from, or, you know, who has a different way of doing things just in general than you. It doesn't necessarily have to be a black white thing. It'd be great if everything was included, but especially for people, because I know people who say that all the time, well, I've never been out of my own town. You know, you expect me to talk to this white man, and I have no clue how to do that. Everybody in my local hood, our doctors, everything are black. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing, you know, how are you connecting with people, again, on a level outside of their complexion? Because I'm sure you as a man, you know, people might not think that we have things in common, but you have to, of course, stereotypically be strong as a man, right? It's your duty to, you don't have feelings. What are those? You just swallow those down somewhere with another brute.
Yep. You know? Yeah, exactly. And we had a little bit of that conversation when we met, I think, about kind of that similarity where there's like the societal expectation that men are supposed to be strong and that we have two settings. We're either okay or we're angry, you know, and there's so much more to it. But we're also often, I think, non-verbally taught that we're supposed to uphold that version of masculinity, whatever that is, wherever that comes from, that, you know, we're supposed to be the strong, silent type, that we're supposed to be muscular and, you know, like aesthetically pleasing as well, you know, and
I mean,
like, you know, but in a specific way, right?
And everything that you just said, except for the muscular bit, I think black women in this country Every time I say this country, everybody take a sip of beer, okay? Because it's coming up a lot. But especially in this country, all of that messaging I think we receive as Black women in America.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's our appearance, whether it's, you know, not being in touch with your emotions because that's a sign of weakness, and mm-hmm. just being able to endure everything. It's very bizarre how much of that programming both your peers and our peers receive.
Yeah,
it's exhausting. I'm sure it's exhausting for men.
For people. It has its moments for, you know, especially if somebody who's in that mindset of trying to adhere to those expectations. And I'm sure you guys know too how exhausting that is. And the more that I've broken free from that perceived expectation of how I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to present myself as a man in society, the more I connect and have these conversations where it's like, oh, we're all the fucking same, you know? And we have different experiences, obviously, but like we all want the same things and we all have the same emotions, right? And so it's a really interesting concept. But anyway, so I would like to talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the more positive things as far as like, you know, how can we start stepping outside of these things that keep us apart, right? Because we have our individual experiences that we kind of hold close to us and we're like, oh, you don't know me, you don't know what it's like. So how can we start to break those walls down through vulnerability, through empathy, right? Those are two things that I think are really important in terms of becoming a more cohesive society.
Mm-hmm. I would say first and foremost, what we're doing right here, finding that commonality. We all have beer in our hand, right? And I will forever be involved in the craft beer community. I really hesitate to call it an industry. It really is a community. And I think mm-hmm. even having that common thread that helps break down that otherness, that, you know, mysterious, I don't know what this person is, because you at least have this one thing that you can build from. Now, does it always, you know, yield the results that we would hope? No, but that's a starting point. And so I think finding that commonality is a good place to start. But then again, also being realistic with yourself and saying not everybody is willing to do that work. Not everybody wants that level of connection, and really paying attention to your intuition. Like, mm-hmm. please, 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 please do not put yourself in harm's way by trying to have this level of engagement with somebody that is not open. That's number one. Yeah. But I find more times than not, you're gonna find people that if you come to them from a genuine standpoint and it's not of, well, you're wrong and how you're doing things is complete. Can I cuss on here?
You can say whatever okay. the fuck you want. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you're wrong and you're completely fucked up and your way of thinking is completely ass backwards and you're the wrong person. Like, you're not gonna get positive results if you go into it with that negativity. You know, like attracts like energy finds each other. And so just being really open and honest and candid of why you're having these conversations and meeting people where they are. Mm-hmm. One of our first panels that we presented as an organization at CBC in Denver was literally on why it makes sense, CENTS, to diversify your offering and your consumer base.
Yeah.
And even as recently as when you and I met, you know, in Milwaukee, I had somebody come up to me after our presentation and say, so are you telling me I need to find a Black person that's a co-founder so I can get more money? And I'm like, no, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. But because I could tell he genuinely wanted to make sure that he understood what I was saying, I had that opportunity to course correct. And I had to meet that person where he was at. Yeah. And very clearly, his interest was on fundraising and securing funding for his business. So I could connect to him on that. And I realized in that moment, he's not ready for the type of conversation that we should be having. Let me give him what I have the capacity to give in this moment and go yeah. away and take care of myself.
Yeah. Plant a few little seeds, right?
Yeah.
And then what I always tell people, and of course we all have different backgrounds, but just for me, when you're talking about a white man with a beard, you're talking about my stepdaddy. So watch your mouth. You know, if you're talking about a trans, you know, woman, you're talking about my uncle who did, watch your mouth. You know, if you're talking about this ethnicity or this race, you're talking probably about my aunt or my little sister or might even be my child. So watch yourself, you know? So again, I think the whole point is that we don't know, none of us know anyone. We have natural instincts that we're born with to protect us. So if we're in a dark alley, you know, your ears, everything is heightened, your hearing is heightened, those things, but we don't necessarily need all of that when we're just meeting someone. So you don't know them, you don't know what they're about. They're not attached to your previous experience with that, whatever it may be, ism. You know, they're not a part of that. So really remember that when you're talking to anyone, you don't know them. I see it a lot. And again, they don't tell their peers, they tell us, you know. A lot of white men will say, I really can't stand it when so-and-so says this because my wife is Black. Or the children we adopted are from this place, you know, they're Asian, like, I don't like it. They think that they know me, but they don't. And so, you know, not necessarily just when you're talking to Black people, anyone else, you have to be careful who you're talking to just in general and give them the time and space to really connect on, you know, where you're working, you know, how many kids do you have? Or, you know, what do you like to do for fun? Anything else other than what you initially see? Because you can be so surprised. Not all, I always am. I don't know about you, Ashley or Zach, but I'm completely surprised when I am having a smoke break or something. I'm just chit-chatting with someone. And before you know it, like, we're having the best time ever. And then we're headed to the next bar. So it's like, you know, keep that in mind. I try to do it for myself all the time. You don't know anyone. And you never know who you may be talking about in their family or friends or their loved ones. So give them opportunity to show themselves to you.
Yeah. I'm over here cheesing because I want to embarrass you, Trey, but I won't.
What?
I'm just, so it feels like me and Trey have known each other forever and we literally like complete each other's sentences.
Yeah.
I'm a better wing person than she is. Let's just put that out there. But I'm cheesing because as you're sharing all of this, Trey, I'm having flashbacks to a certain connection that you had to a particular mountain man in Asheville last
year. He was beautiful, Zach.
A mountain man.
I don't care what my mama said. He was gorgeous, okay? He was everything I needed in my life at that time. And I blew it.
But this random mountain man that looked like he could have been a brawny, you know, model on the side of the brawny paper towel.
And the red flannel and everything.
I think you guys started talking because he was reading a Tolkien book. Was that right, Trey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought?
Oh, I love that so much.
Into the Dark Blue has partnered with our favorite CBD shop, Alamo Botanicals, to give you guys easy access to your favorite CBD products. My personal favorite is the water-soluble CBD that you can drop in your water in the morning and head out the door. It'll help you with your focus and anxiety throughout the day and simply just help you get your job done a little bit easier. I also really enjoy the Moringa skin food. It's great to get rid of some of those blemishes and red spots on the skin and just really give you a nice, healthy glow. So head over to alamobotanicals.com, save yourself 10% with promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE. A portion of that also goes to help us with our mission to create men's groups all around the country at independent breweries. So help us make that happen and help yourself be a little healthier as well. Head over to alamobotanicals.com. What does empathy look like to you?
Wow, that's a heavy question. You want to go first, Trey?
That is. Honestly, I think it's, you know, you'll never really understand what, even if you're going through the same exact thing, you'll never really understand what that other person is going through. You just can't. And so I really, for me, empathy is really just trying to not understand what they're going through, but relating in whatever way I can. So if that is giving them a hug, even, you know, doing that, if that is asking, and Ashley does a great job of this, how can I support you, right? Not just giving me a card or giving somebody something and saying, oh, you know, I totally understand what you're coming from. You'll be fine in a few years. Time goes on, blah, blah, blah. How can I support you? Because I know this has to be hard for you. I can at least understand that. If I can't really understand what you're going through, I can understand that. So I think that's what real empathy is, understanding how you can really support someone with whatever they're going through in your capacity. Because you'll never fully understand what someone's going through.
For sure.
Thanks for bringing that up, Trey. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I forgot to do that this past week, was to ask somebody important to me how I could support them. So I'm going to go back and circle back and ask them that question. So thank you for that reminder, Trey. But I think for certain people, and I am this person, we're fixers, right? Like, I very much have a service-based leadership style. That's how I am. And I think part of it is me being an only child. But yet my parents had 13 foster kids and always just trying to fix things, take care, fill in, patch up, whatever you want to call it. And I've had to take that practice on of saying, how can I support you? Because what I think you may need in that moment, sometimes you just want to vent. Okay. Do you just want somebody to know you're thinking about these things? Do you want my input? What is it? So that's why I've adopted that practice. But I think in a word, empathy for me is really grace. And he's not going to listen to this episode. I'll make sure he doesn't listen to it. But my current companion, a lot of times I can't relate to why he looks at things the way that he does or why he feels the way that he does. And a lot of that has to do with this journey of self-discovery he's on right now. And so what empathy for me looks like in that situation is having grace and saying, okay, well, there may be some behaviors, there may be some conversations, there may be some distance, whatever. I'm not going to even try to put myself through the mental acrobatics of understanding it. But me being empathetic means I'm giving you grace to go through whatever you need to go through right now. And that's a very adult thing for me. Yeah. Whereas, you know, when we first connected 4 or 5 years ago, I'd be like, fuck it, I don't have to talk to you. I can go on.
Yeah.
Where now, because that connection is deepened and that foundation has been laid, me being empathetic is saying it's not about me right now. And I think that's a lot of times our first reaction, and going back to what you were saying about, you know, having these encounters of being treated as an other in the craft beer community. 9 times out of 10, when somebody says some fucked up shit to me in a brewery or at a beer conference, or if I'm in an expo with one of my mentees and I'm referred to as a supportive girlfriend of my mentee that just discovered craft beer 6 weeks ago, you know, that has nothing to do with me. Right. That's that person's shit that they got to walk through. And I think it's very hard for us as human beings to depersonalize things, because we have feelings and thoughts and emotions and all of those things. But being able to be empathetic, give that person grace, and realize that's an experience that they're having, I just happen to play a role in it, but I don't have to take that on. That's been very helpful for me. Yeah. And it's like, you know, that old cliche, like, forgiveness isn't about you, it's about the other person, which I'm still not there. I'm still not that evolved yet. I'm working on it. I want to hold a grudge forever until I die and get reincarnated. I really do. I'm working on it. But really just realizing everything is not about you.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I, you know, recently heard something about empathy in the way of being able to accept where someone is at and aware of how much you can give.
Yeah.
So it's not just about being in tune to their needs, but also in tune to your own needs. And that empathy works both ways, where you can say to somebody, that's really terrible, I'll do what I can to help you. Right. but knowing that you can say, like, I can give you 5 minutes of my time right now, or, you know, whatever that might be. And, you know, not trying to necessarily, like, you know, the difference of sympathy and empathy, right, is sympathy being like pitying them, right? So that's like, can make them feel pretty shitty. But then the empathy, like you were saying, is not necessarily like fully understanding what they're going through, because we all have our past experiences that lead to us experiencing things in different ways currently. But yeah, but just being able to sit and be like, man, I hear that. That must be really terrible. And yeah.
And that's where I think a lot of us get stuck. Oh, sorry, go ahead, babe.
Just real quick. Ultimately, that's the most basic human need, right? Like, yes, mm-hmm. we need food, we need shelter, you know, water is really important. But I think where we are in society and history, everybody needs to be seen and heard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why everybody has a TikTok account. That's why everybody's on all the platforms. People just need to be seen and heard. And I think that feeling of not being seen and heard creates a lot of discomfort and discord and chaos in all of us.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I would, sorry, were you going to say something?
Trey, I cut you off, my bad.
Oh, no, I was going to say this, you know, I'm... when we think of, in particular, let's say after we've had some major things that came up in the news that people were able to actually visually see, right? And then you say, well, we have to fix the world. We have to fix all of this right now, right here. Mm-hmm. And for the average person, that's a lot of weight on your shoulders mm-hmm. to fix a problem that has been centuries, you know, I mean, so long it's been a problem. And yeah. you want to all of a sudden, you know, your little self, bless your heart, is like, you know, I'm going to fix this. We're going to do it. It's a lot to bear. And then all of a sudden it just, you're freezed. Everything's frozen because it's too much. It's overwhelming. We can't all fix the world. You know, we can do it together. We can do it together. But, you know, having to feel like this, the weight of the world on your shoulders for any person, any color background, is a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really appreciate what you're saying when you're, you know, take a step back and again, helping someone or understanding them in your capacity, or, you know, doing what you can do within your capacity, because otherwise you'll get into that, you know, paralysis where you just don't want to do anything and you give up and you throw your hands up, and we don't want that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And man, it was a few years ago when there were a lot of protests going on and things like that. I heard something very smart about the idea of protesting. And what it said was that we all have our own skills. And sometimes those skills don't translate to showing up in the streets with a sign. Like sometimes we can use our skills in other ways to help out, right? And recently, I feel like I've been seeing quite a few people online talking about, like, if you're staying silent right now, then you're approving of it and all of these things, which is kind of disheartening for me, because I feel like, you know, people, that's like generalizing that people don't care, right? And on the whole, I think people do care. I think you know, when you talk to most people, you're going to find that they really do care about other people, and they have this general, like, they want everyone to be well and they want to do what they can, right? But there's what, 8 billion people in the world now? And only so much we can do, like you guys are saying. So what would you guys say are some things that we can do in these last, you know, these last few minutes? Let's talk about what are some things we can do in our local communities that can really help to foster inclusivity and acceptance of others.
Thanks.
What's that?
I was saying jinx. Trey and I both at the same time. We literally share a brain. It's lovely.
I can tell.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is figuring out your why. Like, are you really trying to, quote unquote, be your best self? Are you trying to find connectivity and community? Are you, like, for me, I've had a really wonderful life. I've had a lot of opportunities. I have really amazing people that love and care and support me. And my tax for all of that is to give back. That is my one. So figuring out why first, just really quick case in point. I know we're on version 2.0 of Black is Beautiful. And when version 1.0 came out, there were some conversations that I had here locally in Vegas where breweries were like, well, we're brewing this beer because you don't want to be called racist. Where are you racist? If you're only doing this beer because you don't want to be called racist, not because you believe in the mission, not because you're using it as a launch pad to create and continue to nurture genuine relationships, don't fucking make the beer. Don't. Yeah. Period. And yeah. I think that's what's tricky, especially on all sides, but I'm going to put on my pink boots hat here. You know, a lot of people, when it comes up to our collaboration brew day, they're like, I support women in beer. Look, I did this beer, see? But then your employees are telling us that, you know, you are using inappropriate language and they're experiencing sexual harassment. And you've had a female working for you that hasn't been promoted since she's been there. Like,
yep.
Like, if you're just doing it to be quote unquote performative, I'd rather you not. Yep. And it's okay if that's who you are. Be who you are. Be authentic in everything that you do. Okay. And if you authentically are not ready to do this work or not interested in doing this work, that's okay, because there's enough of us that are, that the change we all know will benefit our community and society will eventually happen.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like masking is almost a part of self-protection these days too. It's like, you know, if you don't join the bandwagon, you're going to be ostracized. So whether you believe it or not, like, you want to be a part of it. You know, just to keep your own, like, keep yourself a part of the community, right? But that masking can be so dangerous, right? And like you said it earlier, if you're not really well versed in the topic, and like, just don't put yourself out there for it.
And just remember, like, you know, like you were saying before, Zach, I mean, we all want to be safe. We all want, you know, to have a decent, you know, place to live. We want to enjoy things, activities. And I'm really, really certain that, you know, as you're talking to someone and you're not putting any boundaries on the conversation based on what they look like, you'll find those commonalities, and you may find someone who could be the best business partner of your life, or, you know, someone who could, you know, be like me and go hang out in the mosh pits and have some fun, you know, listening to some metalcore. You just don't know. So give yourself that opportunity to, you know, learn something outside of what you may see, and take some time to, you know, learn your neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, we have I'm going to make sure I say it right. Ashley, is this Native American, American Indian?
Heritage Month. Yeah.
Heritage Month, you know? It could be something as simple as investigating the state you're in, you know, honoring that land that you're on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just taking some time in your room by yourself to honor that land that you're in, that state. So, again, in your capacity, do what you can, and don't feel bad for not saving the world in one day, you know?
Yep, definitely.
That's a really important message that I needed to hear. I think the closer 40 gets to me, the more apathetic I become, and that's really scary for me.
Come on, girl. Come on over.
No. I can't wait to get my full AARP discount. I've had a membership for the past 5 years. Some discounts haven't kicked in. But just getting to the point of almost feeling like it's too late for me to really make a change. And I think a lot of us become inactive because we feel like it's too late, I'm too old, or people are too set of their ways. So thank you, Trey. I needed to hear that. Yeah. I really needed to hear that.
I mean, Zach, like one of my best buddies is 89. He actually just, Bob just turned 89 yesterday. He is Swedish. But, you know, again, when we met, it was one of those things where he was trying to tell me about Black history. And I was like, you know, no offense, but you know, I'm Black, right? And he was like, oh, you know, well, I just find it so fascinating. And so then same thing, we got to talking and, you know, here we are 12 years later, like he's still my best buddy, my best mentor. Cool. I wouldn't trade them for the world. So, you know, just open your horizons and keep your embrace, like she said.
I love that. Yeah, I think one of the big things that I've learned over the last several years is just to be curious and ask questions instead of giving everyone your opinion. And you know, I find that I get so much more understanding of the world around me when I stop and ask questions and just listen instead of you know, trying to come off as like this presence, you know, like, you know, like I know all the things, like I whatever it might be, I don't know. It's the more I stop and ask questions and listen, the more I learn and the more I understand others.
Do you mind me asking, or do you know what your heritage is, where your ancestors came from, your ethnicity?
Yeah, so as far as I know, I'm mostly Celtic.
Okay.
I went to Scotland about 9 years ago.
Okay.
And found three of the four last names of my parents' parents there's the castle in Edinburgh, Scotland. There's a place you can go where it has like the lineages and last names, surnames and all that. And so I was able to find three of those four names, and most of the roots of all four names are from anywhere from Ireland to like northern France, essentially, where like that whole Celtic region. So
cool. Do you have any of your crests? Did you find any of your family crests from it?
You have to, so unfortunately you have to pay pretty a good amount for each surname to get all of the information. You can get like reports printed up and all that kind of stuff from it, so it's pretty cool. And I think next time I go, I'll probably do that because my 40th birthday is coming up. My plan is to go back to Scotland for my 40th birthday and hopefully look into all that a little bit more. So
awesome. Well, keep us posted on what you find out about yourself.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, I know, you know, we're coming up on an hour here, and so just want to respect your time. And so I would love to hear, I like to ask everybody this question. What is one piece, if you could give everybody who's listening one piece of life advice, what would it be?
Well, I'm going to just say, you know, I think it sounds corny, but you're good enough. Like, you know, you're not just this person. You're not just a guy, you know, graduating soon with your master's. You're not just doing a podcast. You are doing all of these amazing things. And I think that's something I want everyone to keep in mind. You're not just doing something. You are doing incredible things, you know, no matter what level it's on. So please, you know, make sure that you understand that you're amazing in your own right.
Yeah, we definitely have a just jar at this organization, for sure. I would go back to grace. Like, grace is such a beautiful thing, not only for others but for yourself. And I find for me personally, it's so much easier for me to extend that to others than to me. Being an only child, being an overachiever, as I'm called by my current boss, which is bizarre, but that's a whole other podcast episode. when I just am still and not creating, not connecting, but my body will tell me, like, we need to just chill. I have to give myself grace and say, you're not being lazy. You're not wasting opportunities. You are making sure you're good to do all of the work that you know you've been called to do. And I was sharing with Trey earlier, like, the closest experience I have had to any mental health concerns or challenges, like, I have seasonal affective disorder really bad. This time of year is very hard for me. I have a hard time just wanting to get out of bed. I don't want to eat. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to sleep. And really being gracious with myself and saying that I have to give my body time to adjust. And this is not something that's made up in my head. People really are impacted by this. And being a woman of color, again, in this country, take a drink or a shot.
Last one.
Being able to say I am not okay and not feeling ostracized or less than, or like you're a failure, I think that's something that I personally have been working on a long time, and I've had to give myself grace to work through that. So just be gracious with yourself, those around you, especially those people around you that you know are not good to be around you. Give them some grace, but set boundaries. That's another thing I've been working on in my late 30s, is setting boundaries, and no is a complete sentence.
Yes. Yep. Same. I've been experiencing a lot of that lately too. So, and it's pretty amazing how, you know, weeding people out of your life that are causing more harm than they are doing good for you, it can really change the trajectory of yourself and the world around you, and make a really big difference.
200%.
So yeah, thank you guys so much for that. I love it. And so last thing I would love to hear from you is, what does Lifting Lucy have coming up, and where can people find you guys?
We got it's Craft Beer Professional Connects is coming up. I know that's one, and that'll be in December 4th through the 6th.
Yep.
I'm super excited about this one because it's in Charleston. Yeah, so.
I love Charleston.
It's a cool city. I've never been there before, so I'm really, really.
Neither.
You neither.
But the host hotel has fried green tomatoes and grits, so I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm jealous I can't go. make sure you do a ghost tour while you're there. They're a lot of fun.
Okay, we will. And then, of course, we have a lot of things coming up. So if you haven't subscribed, because the November newsletter will be coming out soon, please do go on to liftinglucy.org, and you can subscribe to our newsletter and any other upcoming information. Am I leaving anything out? I feel like it's been a long year of like traveling.
It has. And it's so crazy because I feel like just yesterday I was like, okay, we're going to downshift. In Q3 and Q4, we're going to be focused on fundraising, and like, no, we just keep doing the work. But I will say, one of the things that I'm really excited about, CBC 2024 will be coming to my hometown of Las Vegas, Nevada, not Nevada. So if you are planning on coming out, please let us know. We will be having our second hosting of the House of Lucy. And what the House of Lucy is an opportunity for us, thanks to the generosity and just genuine goodness of our partners, Abstracts Tech. I think you got an opportunity to meet them in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to provide accommodations for up to 9 women of color during next year's Craft Brewers Conference. So very excited for that.
That's great. That's pretty exciting stuff. So yeah, definitely hit them up if you're listening and you're interested in being a part of that. And hopefully we will have some joint events coming up here in the future as well. So be on the lookout for some Dark Blue and Lifting Lucy events that you can attend. And so that I'm really looking forward to. And so other than that, I really appreciate you guys coming on, and I'll talk to you again very soon.
Oh, thanks for having us, Zach. Enjoy your evening. Cheers.
Take care of yourself, everybody out there.
Please.
I want to thank you for venturing into the dark blue with us today, where we're always striving to foster a community of peers which empowers mental wellness, positive growth, and social awareness. If you like what we're doing and would like to support our community, you can purchase a pint glass or t-shirt from Sheath Underwear via the link on our merch tab at www.intothedarkblue.com or message us to make a one-time donation. All proceeds go to men's mental wellness initiatives. If you ever need a listening ear, feel free to message us on the website or at into_the_darkblue on Instagram. If you have an emergency or need help from a professional therapist, we offer several resources on our Get Help page. Last but not least, know your limits and drink smart. Cheers.